Turn in your copies of God's Word to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we will read beginning in verse 20. But before we read, I just want to make a couple of comments. As good Reformed folk, we put a lot of emphasis on the Word of God, especially as Reformed Presbyterians. I always used to wonder, why did the divines put Scripture as the first chapter in the confession? And as I grew in my knowledge and understanding, I realized that the Scripture is what reveals God to us. God has revealed Himself in creation. We are without excuse. The law has been written on our hearts, but how do we know God Himself? It is only by and through His special revelation. In fact, because of our stance on the Scriptures, and because we have such a high view of Scripture, we're often accused as worshiping the Scripture. That's your idol. That's your bibliolatry. Well, of course, that's not the case. Jesus said that the Word, there's no salvation in the Word itself. The Word points to Christ. It points to Him. In fact, all of the Scripture is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter begins the chapter, and we looked at this about a month ago, about God's great salvation. He writes in verse 3, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And in the section we're going to look at tonight, he writes in verse 23, the emphasis on verse 3 being the resurrection, the emphasis in verse 23 as being on the Word. Since you have been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. And that will be our focus tonight. That will be the theme of what we're going to look at here in 1 Peter chapter 1. So give your attention now as I read from 1 Peter. We'll begin in verse 20. And then we'll go through chapter 2, verse 3. Again, please give your attention. This is God's holy word. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, in all its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. I want us to look at this theme tonight, this enduring word, under two headings. The first, I want us to look at its essence. What is this enduring word? And then number two, I want us to look at its effect. So we could consider the first, the essence. What is it? The imperative. What are we to know? Excuse me, the indicative. What are we to know about what this word is? And then secondly, the effect, the imperative. So what is this enduring word? Look at verse 23. You have been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. The Word is living because our God is living. We serve a living Savior. As I read the Word becomes alive to me. It's like a mirror, and you've had this experience as well. You see things about yourself you wish you had never seen. The Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are His children. These spiritual words are spiritually discerned. And because God is living, He makes it alive in our hearts and our minds. It's also the way, I want you to see this, it's the gospel. Look at verse 25, the latter portion. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. It's a living word. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. Look back up with me. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. This is the good news of the gospel, the way to eternal life. Notice also in verse 22, it is truth. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. Peter also writes in verse 2 of chapter 2, it's a pure word. It's trustworthy. Think about the analogy in the scripture of a broken tooth or a broken foot. You can't put weight on it. It will fail. But the truthful word of God will never fail because it is based upon who God is. Do we not hear, and we have the privilege every Lord's Day of hearing Pastor Jeff tell us about this infallible, inerrant, authoritative word. It's inerrant. It is without error. As God breathed out His word, because it reflects Him and His character, it is without error. It's infallible. What does that mean? It cannot err. Because again, it's His word. May God be true and every man a liar. It is a true word. It is also life. Look at verse 2 of chapter 2. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. The Word of God is our life. Notice the caveat, the condition. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. We've heard that repeatedly this morning. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. I love this wordplay here in the text. Peter's writing about the pure spiritual milk that we long for. He would later write, let's not stay in the milk stage. We need to move on to more solid food, the meat of the Word. But this is helping us to understand that the Word is nourishment. It's life to us. Notice also that it's an abiding Word. Verse 23, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. We read from Isaiah 40. That the grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of our God is eternal. It remains forever. The enduring word in its essence is Christ Himself. He is the way. He is the good news of God to sinners. He is the truth. And He is the life. He is the essence. He is the living Word, the one who spoke all things into existence and who upholds all things by the word of His power. If you're alive tonight in Christ, it's because He has raised you from the dead by the power of His word. His word is abiding. So the essence is Christ Himself, the living Word, the Logos. Let's look now at number two, the effect of this enduring word? What impact or effect does, or maybe we should say should, have on your life? Well, Peter here is writing in the context of holiness, beginning in verse 13. He begins with his great salvation and tells us about the threefold graces of God: justification, adoption, and sanctification. But here he's focused exclusively on sanctification. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. How are we to understand that? This is not a works righteousness. I'm not purifying myself because of what I do. I am made holy, I am pure by the very word of Christ, and because I have been made alive in Christ, because I am set apart and holy, now I want to purify myself. I want to be holy. Well, the question is, how is this word made effective? There's one word. It's called work. And we want to shy away a little bit, I think, when we think about a synergistic work. What do we mean by that? Syn just meaning with. Ergo from the Greek meaning work. So working together. And we, as good Reformed Presbyterians, we think, what in the world, Kevin? What are you talking about? Monergism, the one work, as it relates to justification and adoption, we agree with that. Sanctification, in fact, the larger catechism talks about sanctification being infused. We receive grace, it's infused in order that we might do good works. And this here is what Peter is writing. Having purified your souls by your obedience. That is what Christ is calling you to tonight. Purity, obedience. Listen to this from our own testimony. This is from chapter 13, section 3. Proper proclamation of the doctrine of sanctification must call believers to struggle diligently against sin. The call of the gospel is to live a holy life. The scripture speaks of how that we will not see the Lord unless we are holy. Jesus preaches on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is what Peter means in verse 22. Having purified your souls by the obedience of the truth. What's the implication? We are to be obedient to what? The truth. We must know God's word. This is going to be repetition for you tonight. But you need to be admonished. You need to be encouraged to be in the word daily. I often tell my kids that they don't go a meal without eating. But how often are we skipping meals spiritually? We become emaciated spiritually. We're weak. I'm ashamed to admit this, but when we were living in Kansas City, I walked into my daughter's room and she had a bulletin board on her desk. And I noticed on a little 3x5 card that she had written a quotation. And I glanced at it and I immediately blew it off and I just said, that's ridiculous. And to my horror, I looked at the bottom and it was from Proverbs. And the Lord convicted me. And I realized that I did not know the word as I should. Jesus said, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. If we're going to be obedient, if we're going to be holy, if we're going to be purified, you must know the word through his written word. We take that for granted, do we not? How often Are we in the Word? Are we being intentional? What about in preparation for coming to worship? Are you going to bed at a reasonable time on Saturday night? It might be a good idea in family worship to pull out the bulletin. Sharon so often will send it to us in advance. If you don't have it, you can email her. Find out what the text that will be preached on the Lord's Day. Be contemplating the Word as it's read, as it's spoken, as it's preached. Are you attending the Word with prayer? Do we often, as we're reading, assume, I get this, I understand this, or maybe we're quick to run to a commentary, speaking to the seminary students in the room? But are you attending the Word with prayer? Are you asking the Holy Spirit, oh God, help me to see wonderful things from your law? We are dependent upon God Himself to understand His Word. And this is a difficult one, and I'm preaching to myself here. But what about meditation? I'm not talking about transcendental meditation. I'm talking about thinking deeply upon the Word of God. Which, how are we to meditate if we're in the car, if we're in bed, if we've not memorized the Word? I know adults, we're more guilty of this than the kids are. But we need to find someone in our life that will keep us accountable, that will help us to memorize the Word. The psalmist wrote, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Are you meditating on the Word? How are we to purify ourselves? How are we to be obedient to the truth? Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 1. This is the putting off. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. I think of malice. Malice just means evil, as that which we do with our hands, our actions. Deceit, hypocrisy, envy relates to our hearts. And then slander, the mouth, the tongue is so small, but it controls an entire ship, as James writes. It's a small fire that sets an entire forest ablaze. Peter here is writing how we are to purify ourselves in word, in thought, and deed. But I'm grateful he doesn't stop there. That's the putting off. Put away these things from you. What are we to put on? Love. Love for the Word. Love for others. He follows in verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. The Word is just a reflection of Christ. Ask yourself tonight, do you love the Word? There's some tests in the Christian life we can kind of put our fingers to our neck and determine, do I have a pulse? This is one of those tests. Do you love the Word? Do you love the Word, capital W? Notice in verse 22, the outcome, the result of purification. What is that? Holiness? Don't get too close to me. You might defile me. No, it's, look at this. Having purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth. Why? For a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. This is the goal of sanctification. This purification. We love Christ, we love God, and we love others. That's the fulfillment of the entire law. And that's what Peter is calling for us to do, to love one another. What is the essence of this enduring word? It is Christ Himself, the living and abiding Word of God. What is the effect of this enduring word? We are to be conformed to His image. We are to look more and more like Him. Someone asked a sculptor one time, "How do you know what to remove?" And he said, "I'm removing all pieces of stone that don't look like the sculpture that I'm trying to make." That's what God is doing to you in Christ. He is removing everything from your life that does not look like Him. My father related a story to me as I was growing up. Many of you know he was a Baptist pastor. He went on a missions trip with a missions team in the mountains of northern Mexico. This was an unreached people group. They had not heard the gospel as far as they were concerned. They brought the gospel. My dad said it was very difficult. They were such kind people, but it was hard for him to eat chicken while he was watching chickens run around the ground around the table. He said they had dirt floors, and they would sweep the dirt floors. He said they brought the gospel, and they left and came back maybe a year later, and there was a particular gentleman. His name was Jose. And Jose looked different than most of the rest of the tribe. He had washed himself. He was clean. He had combed his hair. His clothes were very poor, threadbare, but he was clean. And someone asked him, "Jose, who told you to get clean? Who told you to go wash?" And he said, "I felt so clean on the inside that I wanted to be clean on the outside." And that's what the purifying word does. It transforms us. It makes us want and long for holiness, to be clean on the outside. Let's pray. Father, we do long for this word, this living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who because of His great love sacrificed Himself for us. We love not that we first loved You, but that You loved us and sent Your only begotten Son to be our propitiation, to be our sacrifice, to die in our place. Oh God, we respond by wanting to be holy, to be righteous as You are righteous and holy. Help us, oh God, we pray. We stumble. We are so frail and so weak. We need Your power to make us more and more like Christ. We pray this now in His name. Amen.